time now for Outsiders. I'm Barry Cassidy and you're not.
And welcome today to Talk Matters electoral, Parnell Palmer McGuinness, communications consultant and writer, Paula Mathewson, weekly columnist for The Drum, New Daily, and most recently Australian Women's Weekly. Paula, the big time. Dr. Anita Heiss joins us as well, manager of Epic Good Foundation, a former adjunct professor at the Jumbunna Indigenous House of Learning, the University of Technology, Sydney. Welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All present and correct. Let's not keep seeing the same hands.
Yes, sir.
It's been an extraordinary week. We were thinking about this almost interminable election campaign and wondering how the sides would pace themselves, how they would sort of manage to make that distance. And Paula, suddenly this week, perhaps not so much through intention as through misadventure, the pace picked up somewhat.
It did. So we've had, the plan was basically, I think, for the Labor Party was going to, after a week of education, was moving to health. And
ticking them off.
That's right, ticking them off. And the government, I think, was a little bit concerned after the Leaders Forum on Friday night. There was not one mention of boats or terrorism or any of these things that supposedly Western Sydney is concerned about. So Malcolm got out there in front of an OSB boat, started talking about border protection, and then we had Mr. Dutton come into play.
Well, we did. Let's have a listen. You will have heard what Peter Dutton said, but for the sake of refreshing your memories.
Well, for many people, they won't be numerate or literate in their own language, let alone English. And this is a difficulty because the Greens are very close to the CFMEU, as obviously the Labor Party is, and their affiliations with the union movement are obviously well known. Now, these people would be taking Australian jobs, there's no question about that. And for many of them that would be unemployed, they would languish in unemployment queues and on Medicare and the rest of it. So there would be a huge cost, and there's no sense in sugarcoating that. That's the scenario.
Now, there was a fair bit of, especially on your social media and all those sort of lefty enclaves, a fair bit of outrage at what Mr. Dutton said. PM, however, was very quick to get in and give him very emphatic support.
Many of them are illiterate in their own languages. Now, this is, that is no fault of theirs, and that is not a basis for criticising them. What it is, as Peter has identified, is a basis for us taking our responsibilities seriously.
And Parnell, the job is done there, because suddenly security, borders, utterly the topic of that day's cycle and ongoing, that the conversation shifted.
That's right, that's right. It was very clumsily done, but it was effective because we're now talking about those things. Now, interestingly, something that nobody seems to have picked up on from Dutton's formulation there was that he sounded more concerned about the Greens' strategy and about generally their likelihood of being elected. So he said their affiliations with the CFMEU would mean that this wouldn't play well for them. So he's trying to.
He cares.
That's right. And they do want to support the Green Party versus the Labor Party as well. We know that this is part of the Liberal strategy in this.
Did you think, Anita Heiss, that we would have yet another campaign, based around this as a central issue?
Well, it actually reminded me of two different situations. One was the 1930s White Australia policy. When I first saw that, I thought, oh my God, we've just gone back to that. But also it reminded me of the 2007 election, where just weeks out of that, John Howard announced the Northern Territory Emergency Response. And it was playing into this the redneck psyche of Australia in terms of getting back on the getting things back on the radar. In those days, it was getting John Howard on the radar in terms of the election. But I thought, and Parnell mentioned strategy there, and I thought that this was a strategy of the government, given that they haven't been able to sell any of their policies in terms of cuts to Medicare, proposed cuts to penalty rates, proposed cuts to company tax, which is a hard sell to anybody in the working class. So what can we sell? Well, we can sell this fear. So, I mean, I was as mortified as an ex-person, but I think what happened is it backfired, because if you saw the backlash, it wasn't just from working class people, and it wasn't just from people like myself who had a migrant father who came with English as a second language and worked his butt off to create a life and pay tax and did all that sort of, raised a family, did all the things that over 50% of Australian families are doing.
And suddenly those stories, Paula, came absolutely to the fore. We had a week flooded with the stories of migrant success and hardship and making good. But it's interesting. I mean, people always describe this, we've talked about this before, describe this as sort of a race-baiting issue, as a dog whistle issue. And I think it's more complicated than that. I think it's actually about the economy. It's actually about job security and all those things that it's just it's a proxy for.
That's right. You and I have both written about it, and I dragged out your column on that very issue from 2013. The other thing to remember, sure, that we had lots of stories about the success of migrants in Australia, but interestingly and counterintuitively, people that would be considered to be new generations in Australia aren't exactly very welcoming of an immigration intake. Mm. And we saw that with the Essential poll this week. So around 60% of Australians said the immigration intake is currently too high. And they broke it down again. And around that amount was from people who were either not born in Australia or whose parents weren't born in Australia.
Which made Malcolm Turnbull's contribution, Parnell, in a piece he wrote for Fairfax Papers, interestingly, I thought, that the placement was strategically interesting. But making the case that it's multiculturalism is dependent on order in our migration regime.
And that is what they're trying to tap into here, because essentially when we hear all of these pro-immigration stories, these are talking to people who don't actually live in communities with high levels of immigrants. So what Dutton was talking to, where his comments were aimed, were at people living in high migrant communities who know the problems of integration, who are experiencing these on a daily basis, and they feel very sensitive about this. As Paula said, it is often recent immigrants, who feel most sensitive about new waves coming in. And Turnbull was saying, well, this is what it's about, and explaining the integration issue to a broader community who, frankly, you know, living in the eastern suburbs of Sydney or in Fitzroy and Melbourne, don't have a great number of immigrants in their midst.
And Labor Party, but Anita Heiss is well, it's very flat-footed on this issue. It doesn't really have anywhere to go.
I mean, and that's part of the problem for Labor voters. And again, it reflects back to previous elections around the Tampa crisis, for instance, when Kim Beazley didn't actually give any opposition to what was happening at that time and didn't give Labor voters an opportunity to actually vote for a party that stood up for what they believed in. So I think it's going to be interesting the next few weeks as we lead into the election. And I'm keen to see what Bill Shorten comes up with when he's not busy doing, you know, what he's been preoccupied with this week.
Yes, indeed. Yes, quite so, because one of the things that he, of course, has been preoccupied with was the raids that took place on the houses of various Labor Party operatives. Is Mr. Shorten reacting to that?
The truth of the matter is that NBN Co is a creature of government, and it is inconceivable that NBN Co would launch a police investigation and not make it clear to the owners of the company what is happening.
Of course, the Prime Minister, not to be sidetracked from his preferred issue of the week, was quick to try and turn that round.
What Labor is doing is seeking to attack the integrity of the Australian Federal Police. That is a shameful thing to do. Labor should be ashamed of themselves.
Shame on you, Labor. Shame, Parnell. Yesterday we have Communications Minister Mitch Fifield saying that he was aware of this investigation. Labor trying to make the suggestion subsequent to that, well, then he must have told the Prime Minister. It's a conspiracy or cock-up here?
I think a bit of a combination. I think they wouldn't have been unhappy to see this hit the agenda, but I also think that there is a limit to the amount of control the government is going to be able to have over the AFP launching an investigation of this nature.
Which it launched, of course, in December, so there's a slow burn here.
So the AFP came out and said, the reason we've done our investigation at this time, or rather not the investigation, but the raid at this time, is because of developments in the case. Now, we have to take them at their word on this, because we just don't have any information to the contrary. Whatever conspiracies we think up are just that.
What it does throw up, Paula, in the middle of this campaign is this attitude to the providers of information, to leakers, to whistleblowers, to the people that can be raided by the AFP and hunted down.
Well, I mean, we see a debate around one type of whistleblower being more equal than another. So the AFP have been conducting a number of raids or visits because of different inquiries that they've been undertaking. So we had the Ashby Gate raids that took place, and then these ones as well. So it's a bit of colour and movement, but I don't think this particular exercise is going to be of any interest at all to everyday voters. It's only of interest to people who think that this is going to bring the NBN into the debate.
Well, which is the thing, isn't it, Anita? I mean, that's the effect that it's, I think, had enduringly, is to have a start to talk about the NBN and whether it's working, whether it's delivering for Australians in need of a little bit of internet.
Oh, I agree. And I think, again, just to echo what's already been said, I don't think it'll have a huge impact in terms of voter interest. However, as a voter myself, my concern was around if this was actually launched in December and we take the AFP's word for the raids happening this week, I just find it really hard to believe that the PM hadn't been kept in the loop in any way, shape or form, and that he didn't know anything about this happening this week, given that it is a government-appointed board, there's ministers on the board and so forth. And my question is, why was there such a strategy around protecting him from that knowledge or making sure he didn't know so that he could say publicly, I wasn't aware?
Well, he's been very adamant in the things he said publicly, which would suggest that there is no shadow, no shade of grey here. He's come out and very, very black and white said, knew nothing about it.
Yeah, but why? That's what I don't know. Why did they make sure?
Because he knew nothing about it.
I don't understand why it's an important issue, if he knew or not.
The NBN is a huge issue for this nation, and he's, the PM. And there's an investigation. This investigation isn't about who took the cookie from the Cookie Monster's jar. This is about concern around, monies and so forth, and why the NBN hasn't been rolled out effectively. And that is a key issue for people who don't have access to the internet.
Sure.
Outsiders here on Sunday Extra, Parnell Palmer-Guinness, Paula Matthewson and Anita Heiss. And the other thing that happened, and I think this is interesting because there's the big stuff and there's the stuff we're talking about. And the thing that happened on Friday was, of course, the release of PIFO, which is the election cycle update on the fiscal position. And Parnell, it was, nothing much has changed from the budget, which after all was just, 3 weeks ago. But what it did say is that we're vulnerable, should anything untoward happen, we are in no position to weather that storm.
That's right. It was a real slap over the right spending hand of both government and opposition, really, and I hope it's taken as such. It should be a reminder at this critical part in the campaign that these spending promises don't come at no cost in long-term strategic terms for the country. We are in a position where we have to look at getting the budget back into some kind of good shape, and these are independent, objective warnings on precisely that issue. Now, whether the electorate will heed that is another question entirely.
And Anita, in terms of sleeping issues, we have stuff in the papers today talking about childcare and fee relief and some extraordinary numbers that government data saying parents paying $165 a day on average in some Sydney suburbs, $140 a day in Melbourne. In terms of where government is going to spend money, it's extraordinary that things like childcare are just not getting talked about.
I mean, I don't have children, so when I hear those numbers, obviously it's always extraordinary to me because I'm not on top of that. But I had friends back in the 90s who were spending, upwards of $100 a day, and they were earning good money, but taking home at the end of the week after rent and everything about $50. So it wasn't even encouraging, particularly women who had law degrees in terms of my friends, to actually work. So there's a whole, it branches out to a whole range of other areas as well. So there's the childcare that also impacts on whether or not women are going to be in employment.
And this goes, Paula, just briefly as a quick last point. I mean, the elections that are of deep concern to people in their lives, that in all this talk of the stuff that politics wants to focus on, that people are saying, yes, but there's this stuff that I care about.
And so if if a politician is not going to address their specific issue, then they want some assurance that at least the politician has a plan to fix the issues in a general sense. And that's why we keep hearing about this damn plan.
Well, let's see if these plans emerge. Our outsiders this morning, Parnell Palmer-McGinnis, Paula Mathewson and Anita Heiss. And Anita has an event coming up that she wants us to be aware of, Kick On for Literacy, May 27. Now, if you want more information about that, head on your internets to indigenousliteracyfoundation.org.au. That's all one big word. And look there for the links to Kick On Literacy. It all will be revealed. Thank you to all. 5 minutes to 10 here on RN Sunday Extra.